From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. As always, I am Justin Spears, my partner in crime, sitting across the way, Dominic Pachaco.
What's going on?
Thank you for tuning in. Dominic, we are T-minus hours away from the NBA draft, and the NBA draft is a special time, especially in Tucson, because every year it seems like at least one Arizona Wildcat is going to hear their name getting called by the commissioner to walk across the stage and determine their NBA future. But tomorrow is, or I shouldn't say tomorrow, Thursday's draft is going to be interesting because Arizona star freshman player, or former star freshman player, DeAndre Ayton could be the very first number one overall pick in program history. And we look at DeAndre Ayton, and you and I have seen him in Tucson playing at the U of A for this past year, and we always had the same thought about Ayton, is that he is a franchise-changing player. Mm-hmm. He's going to come in, and he's going to make an immediate impact like he did at Arizona. 7'1", 260 pounds, and he runs the floor like a guard. He can face up to the basket. He can do anything that you want him to do.
It's just
amazing to see that he's now at this point in his career, and I mean, it's definitely been an interesting week for Ayton.
It's funny to me looking back. I don't know. It might have been Bleacher Report or in some article that they had said that weeks ago we were talking about who was going to be the first number one, who's going to be the number one overall pick this year, whether it was going to be Doncic. Bagley had an outside shot. Ayton was, in the mix, obviously, but not as big of a lock as he is now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened in the last 3 weeks, in the last month or so. I guess just after March, really, that talks have heated up with Ayton. But he is, I mean, the perennial number one pick now. Everyone has him going number one. I think he's, it's fair to say he's going number one on Thursday. But it's pretty phenomenal. When you look at him, and I bring up him, where we were 3 weeks ago with him, and because, I've seen recent comparisons, obviously the Hakeem comparisons that Olajuwon that we've seen for,
the dream.
The last year or two. With DeAndre Ayton. But this week, and I talked briefly about it with Bruce, he was compared to David Robinson by John Rothstein on CBS Radio, which I thought was really interesting because I really liked the Olajuwon comparisons, but I never thought about David Robinson. It's actually a pretty good call.
Yeah.
I think I might like the Hakeem better, but...
Well, he's got... It's weird. I like the David Robinson comparison just because of the way he's built.
Right.
Dave Robinson, he played at Navy. A lot of people forget about that. And he was on that Naval Academy athletic conditioning program. Mm-hmm. So he was pretty built.
Yeah.
Physically, he looks like David Robinson, but his footwork and the way he operates in the post, very Hakeem-like.
Very Hakeem, yeah. I think that's what does it for me is Hakeem's athleticism. I think watching Hakeem play bad, watching highlights of him, and then watching Ayton, you're like, oh, you can pick out similarities. And I know Ayton's talked about it before. Ayton kind of tries to model his game. I know he's talked a lot about Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Has Hakeem came up in that?
Yep.
In that list? So, I mean, there's a ton of players you can compare him to. Obviously, that's not to say he's going to be the next Hakeem Olajuwon. That's obviously...
That's the level. Yeah.
I mean, those are lofty expectations. But hey, DeAndre Ayton likely be the number one pick on Thursday night. Stay tuned for that. I want to read you this quote here that I just came across that I thought is pretty interesting. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it because I know we got a lot to talk about. But
is it about a shark shirt?
Ayton today? No, a shark shirt that was amazing. Better than any shoes I've seen from him so far. This quote, definitely getting to my second contract, that's my success. He said that when asked what would be, a success in the NBA. He wants to get to that second contract. But I thought, which is interesting, we've heard him talk about, people don't like that, I guess, in college or sometimes, I guess even in the NBA, when people leave teams to go to a bigger contract, even if it's not as good of a team, that kind of rubs people the wrong way sometimes when you're just chasing money and chasing contracts. But Ayton had he didn't mince words when talking about why he chose to sign with Puma this week. And Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, I know they haven't announced figures yet, is expected to be the largest shoe deal since Kevin Durant?
Yeah, at least according to ESPN, I forgot the reporter mm-hmm. for ESPN, Nick DiPaola.
Mm-hmm.
He's really into the kicks and mm-hmm. sneaker deals and stuff like that. And he said that, or he reported that, Marvin Bagley, who's also Ayton's co-partner mm-hmm. with the Puma deal, who was also supposed to go to Nike. I thought that was really interesting that he chose Puma.
And Michael Porter Jr. to that Puma.
Michael Porter Jr. Man, they're getting everybody in their top 10.
Yeah.
It said that it's expected to be the largest deal for a player since Kevin Durant's deal with Nike in 2014, which is estimated to be between $265 and $285 million, which is bonkers money. And if you're 18, 19 years old and you're having those figures being thrown around in your face, I could see why DeAndre Ayton went to go to Puma instead of going to a place like Nike. Like I said yesterday, you think about Nike's pieces of the pie. Where would Ayton fit in with Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, even Paul George? He's got a sneaker line with Nike. Eventually, somewhere down the road, DeAndre Ayton's going to be a player that has that kind of mystique to his name, like mm-hmm. LeBron and Kevin Durant and those guys. But for now, Puma getting Ayton and revamping the whole "we want to get back into basketball" thing, I think that's really smart on Ayton's part.
I think it's great the guys are going after. I mean, they're not putting all their marbles in, you know, DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley. They're going, I mean, they got Bagley, Ayton, and Michael Porter Jr. So they got three lottery picks mm-hmm. tucked away
right there.
Who are going to be in the league for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
But this quote from Ayton on why, if you haven't seen it yet, this is in Bruce Pascoe's story from earlier this week. Ayton, again, didn't mince words. He made it very clear that he went to Puma because it's the best deal. He talked a lot about it being, you know, a fresh start. You know, it's kind of, I mean, he's the face of Puma now, especially if he goes number one on Thursday night. He is the face of Puma, as if he went to Nike. You know, he's still going to be, you and I talked about this last night, Justin, he's still going to be competing with Nike and, you know, all the shoes they have coming out. Obviously, I mean, people are going to be buying KDs and LeBrons, and there's probably still Steph Curry's over him, but he is now the face of Puma. So he's not in with Nike, you know, blending in, you know, sitting backseat with Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, the face of his shoe line, but he said this.
A global brand.
Bleacher Report asked him what you're searching for in a shoe deal, and he said, quote, "You're really trying to go bank." Continued, "We're not kids anymore. We're not looking for product. Of course, the brands are going to do their best to give you their best product they have. At the end of the day, it's a business." I like it. Look, of course, we'd all like to go buy DeAndre Ayton Nike apparel. But if you're DeAndre Ayton, like Justin said, you go flash, you know, what was KD's deal? 7 years, $60 million. I mean, if Puma's giving him something more than that, how do you say no?
Man, that's crazy.
They're saying, "Hey, you're going to be the face of our shoe, of our basketball apparel line that isn't big." I mean, I don't know about you. I can't remember the last time I heard about Puma basketball apparel. So, I mean, it's DeAndre Ayton now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you flash that kind of money at him.
And plus, Puma, I thought it also made sense because Puma is also a pretty big brand globally, which also includes the Bahamas. Because growing up, Ayton said this today, he told Bruce Pascoe that Puma was always a brand for Olympians. Mm-hmm. And the Bahamas, what kind of athletes did they produce? Track runners. Are there any other sports that the Bahamas are really good at? Other than track,
bobsled,
no, that's Jamaica. Cool Runnings.
Oh, you're right.
Cool Runnings.
It's my bad. How did I mix those two up? Sorry.
But Puma's really big in the Caribbean because of that reason. Mm-hmm. Is you have guys like Usain Bolt, even though he's from Jamaica, he's a Caribbean guy. That's the face of that brand, mm-hmm. and they're always known for making running apparel. They didn't have any basketball apparel at all. Except for back in the day with Clyde Frazier in 1973, but now that was the only one,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of fizzled out. They tried bringing Vince Carter back for 1998. That fizzled out after a couple of years. So Puma has attempted to hit the basketball world, and the last two times they've tried it, they failed because they only went after one guy.
Right.
Now they have probably the number one and the number two picks in the draft, and Michael Porter Jr., plus a middle first round pick in J.R. Smith from Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. So that's four young guys right there that they're going to hit the ground running and going to be the face of a brand. Puma's already big globally, but in terms of the basketball world, they are totally irrelevant. I think this is a smart idea. And plus, having Jay-Z as the man running the show, as a president of basketball operations, that's big time.
Right. Well, I heard a lot of the new models and design shoes I've seen from Puma to come out today, I've heard Jay-Z had a large hand in helping design. So, hey, Jay-Z on board, you can't go wrong with that. There's the recruiting you need to do right there. I mean, if Ayton Bagley, if three lottery picks aren't enough, hey, we got this guy named Jay-Z, too, creating our shoes. So, it's interesting. The last big kind of apparel company to take off in the NBA was Under Armour, right? Is it fair in saying that?
Yeah.
And they
were
the second most popular sportswear manufacturer in the U.S. last year, $2.6 billion revenue in apparel and footwear. Still far behind Nike, obviously, at $11.8 million. But Under Armour is number two, and it's pretty phenomenal. You look at what they do. I mean, you talk about hit the ground running with a couple big athletes. Obviously, they didn't go after a ton of people right away. Again, I could be wrong on that. Correct me if I'm wrong. But obviously, they got Steph Curry, home run. They landed Tom Brady, home run, obviously. Jordan Spieth, who spent a long time as number one golfer in the world, huge home run. I mean, they got a lot of guys. Clayton Kershaw on the Dodgers, home run. Mm-hmm. They don't have a ton of people to their name, but every person they have is huge. That's kind of what Puma could be modeling after. Cam Newton, I think, is Under Armour.
Yep, he is.
Lindsey Vonn, Buster Posey. So, I mean, you look at the names that Under Armour has, they're all huge, but obviously not as plentiful as Adidas, Nike, some of the bigger brands. But I look at Puma, maybe they're trying to do the same thing because it's hard to look past Under Armour's success.
You're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
Answer this question. Has Bryce Harper won MVP yet?
Yeah.
What year was that again? Was that in 2015?
I want to say 15, but let me look. He could have done it multiple times.
Because I look back at the crazy year that Under Armour had.
It was just 15, yeah.
It was 15?
Yeah.
Bryce Harper wins MVP that year.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry wins the first ever unanimous MVP in NBA history. And Cam Newton, when he wins MVP for the NFL, and they go to the Super Bowl. That's three MVPs right there. And who are they all sponsored by? Under Armour.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not saying Puma should get into basketball or football or baseball, but...
Hey, they're in golf. Ricky Fowler.
So, I mean, they're starting to pick up some traction here. And I always thought...
They're doing it right, too. They're going after three of the best...
young guys.
Yeah, three of the best prospects in the league.
Because anytime I thought of Puma, I always thought of... the German tourist that came over to Tucson on vacation. You'd see him walking around the mall wearing their tight Puma shirts and their Puma shoes. And that's anytime I thought of Puma, I thought of that. But now you bring up Puma, you think of
DeAndre
Ayton, yeah. Which is
hard to turn that down.
Kudos to them.
Yeah, congrats to them and DeAndre Ayton.
Bruce Pascoe's out there covering the NBA draft. Don't forget to follow him on Twitter, at Bruce Pascoe. We wish we could get him on the podcast, but he's really busy out there in New York, pretty much following DeAndre Ayton everywhere that he goes. but he'll have all your draft coverage in New York. I will be up in Phoenix tomorrow at headquarters in the war room, seeing how everything is broken down, and there'll be a press conference afterwards with the general manager, Ryan McDonough. So we have a lot of draft coverage coming your way Thursday on the Wildcaster. So don't forget to follow us on there. So, Dom, the reason why we're all here, though, is we want to preview the top 14 picks of this year's draft.
Yes, sir.
All right. So the way we're going to do this, Dominic, he's got the even numbers. I have the odd numbers. We're only going to do picks 1 through 14 because if you're a Lakers fan like me who has the number 25 pick and you want to see who I think the Lakers are picking, go on Tucson.com. With the Wildcaster app, the NBA draft will be up there. So, Dom, the Phoenix Suns are on the clock.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my GM hat on real quick.
Marvin Bagley.
And you know what? I think the Suns surprise the world, and they take Luka Doncic.
I know you're kidding, because that's already up on Tucson.com.
I thought Dom's laugh would have given it away. But Suns... let me just give you some advice real quick.
Let me break it down for you.
Do not be morons. And look, if there is something that Ayton said that really bothered you, I get it. However, there is no other player that has ever come out of the University of Arizona like this. And there is no other player that has coming out has came out in, I don't know, how many years that's been like him. Okay, again, you want to compare him to Joel Embiid, the process? Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid was not nearly as good as DeAndre Ayton in college. Mm-hmm. This is what you see is what you're going to get. Suns, you have to pick DeAndre Ayton. And that's what I'm going with at number one.
He's a once in a generation player, or has the potential to be. As good as this draft is, I think it's one of the better drafts we've had in a while. At least at the top, as good as this draft is, I don't think there's anyone who comes close to the kind of talent DeAndre Ayton can offer. Obviously, DeAndre Ayton has to go number one to the Suns on Thursday night, or else it would be a colossal mistake. Especially since he's home. I mean, how do you not take the hometown kid?
Yep.
At number one overall. Number two, look, Kings, a lot of speculation that Luka Doncic is going to go number two here. Justin, I know you tweeted yesterday that it could be, oh man, you got to remind me what happened. Was it Kobe? Everyone hyped up someone to where Kobe fell in the draft to the Hornets, who had, you know, ended up with the Lakers. But everyone's hyping up Luka Doncic. The Suns aren't going to bite, but could the Kings? I think there's a very good possibility they do. And they do take Luka Doncic, but if I'm sitting in the Kings war room on draft night, I got to go Marvin Bagley at number two. I think he's the safest bet. I think the Kings need that right now with a lot of the young talent they have around. You pair Marvin Bagley, you slide Marvin Bagley into that starting five next year, and they got something going. Mm-hmm. Obviously a long way to catch up, but I think I like Marvin Bagley. I think he's safe. I think he's the most proven. I mean, I out of Doncic, out of any of the guys coming up here, I think Marvin Bagley is the safe play.
Well, I think you put in Marvin Bagley up against or with mm-hmm. Willie Cauley-Stein, De'Aaron Fox.
Buddy Hield.
I mean, that's a solid core just right there. And then plus you have Harry Giles, Justin Jackson. There's so many young players that they could put around. I could totally see them also going the Michael Porter Jr. route. But Marvin Bagley, safe deal. That's right. A safe pick.
And that's not to say, hey, when the Kings go on the clock tomorrow, I might expect them to take Doncic, but I'd go Bagley.
Oh, totally, totally. All right, number three, the Atlanta Hawks are on the clock. Quavo from the Migos said that he really wants them to pick Trae Young from Oklahoma. And you know what? I like Culture, too. That was a great album. So I'm going to listen to Quavo's advice. And Atlanta Hawks picking Trae Young, a.k.a. Steph Curry. Or I'm not going to say 2.0 because he hasn't really proven himself in the NBA yet. But let's just say a bootleg Steph Curry and Trae Young.
That was the – you see, he said on – I saw it for Bleacher Report today that what do you say? About Clay and Steph Curry, he said he could absolutely beat him. He said it would be a good fight, but he'd come out on top. So,
yeah.
Fighting words, you better get going for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a bold move, Cotton.
You got to
see how that plays out. Number four, the Memphis Grizzlies are on the clock. Dom?
Yeah, I just lost my page here. Stand by while I pull my draft back up. Of course, we just talked about him. Luka Doncic is going number four to the Memphis Grizzlies. Look, he can't fall that far. I've always been iffy on Luka Doncic just because I see a lot more in prospects like Marvin Bagley, maybe even in Trae Young. Michael Porter Jr. probably definitely too. I mean, watching them through college, I like what I see through them in college more than what I like in Doncic playing in Europe. And that's no knock on European ball. I know they got a lot of impressive teams and a lot of impressive players. Yeah, they got unicorns. And hey, Dusan Ristic could be over there in a year's time. So don't hate on European basketball. But mm-hmm. Look, I don't think he falls that far. With all that said, I think he goes number four.
Absolutely. I like that pick. They have Michael Conley coming mm-hmm. back. They still have Marcus Gasol.
Conley's time's going out. I mean, obviously, the back end of his career now.
It's going to be a new era of Memphis Grizzlies basketball. Mm-hmm. And you're going to start, and I guarantee you're going to see the Grizzlies in the lottery for the next, 3 years.
Right.
That's just the way it's going to be because they're just completely starting fresh.
The new Suns.
So I could totally see them getting Luka Doncic. Number five, the Dallas Mavericks.
We've talked about this a lot in the last week.
I'm really trying to put together what they need. They absolutely need a center. The second best center in this class is Mo Bamba. Mm-hmm. Mo Bamba has adjusted his shot. Even from the end of his college career till now, you saw him in the draft workouts, even with the Suns, when the Suns worked him out for possibly being the number one pick. His shot is funky, but it works. And when you're a seven-footer who kind of plays like Dikembe Mutombo but has a jump shot, I think that's a great player right there. And mm-hmm. I like Dallas Mavericks taking Mo Bamba at number five.
Hey, I saw this today on Mo Bamba. Apparently him and Dirk, I guess he was working out with the Mavericks, and him and Dirk got together, and Mo Bamba said that Dirk pinky sweared that he'd stay around three more years. I think it was three more years if Mo Bamba gets drafted by the Mavericks. So hey, pinky swears are back in.
That's like,
if you're making pinky swears, you gotta stay around, Dirk, if Mo Bamba is a Maverick.
Pinky swears are sacred.
Three more years of Dirk, that means, huh?
I like three more years of Dirk.
Paired with Mo Bamba too. It could be a good combination.
Pretty good
down low. Number six, we got the Orlando Magic here. Look, I think the Magic are interesting because they got pieces like, obviously, Aaron Gordon, who I think has potential to have a really, really solid NBA career. They pair a guy like Jaren Jackson from Michigan State with him out on the wing. Obviously, Gordon can play four a little bit, but you pair those two guys together, I think it's a really deadly combo. I like Jaren Jackson from Michigan State, had a big year for him, averaging 10, 5, and 3. 6'11", 235. It's hard to argue with his frame. He can play the three. He can shoot the ball. He can get inside. He's physical. Not a lot to dislike about Jaren Jackson out of Michigan State.
I've seen several mock drafts where they've had Jaren Jackson going number three overall to the Atlanta Hawks. So, I mean, between three and in that six range with the Magic, that's probably the sweet spot where you're going to see Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, he also averaged 3 blocks a game, which I think is pretty impressive.
You pair that, with Aaron Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Block City.
Yeah.
Number seven, the Chicago Bulls are on the clock. They drafted Lauri Markkanen last year.
And Jordan Brown.
And then traded him to the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. I like them getting a guard just because I look at their guard play from last year. I didn't really like what I saw from Justin Holiday. I really, really like Colin Sexton. He is my favorite guard out of this whole draft just because I've watched videos of him since his AAU days in high school, and he was talking trash to Penny Hardaway's kid. He went up to Penny Hardaway himself in the middle of a game and said, "Your son is trash," and pursued to keep playing and balling out. I saw that, and I was like, man, that is one of the most savage things I've ever seen in my life. Continue to play, and when he went to Alabama, he still had that pit bull mentality. He embraced the quote-unquote young bull life. So, the young bull
becomes
a bull, and the Chicago Bulls pick Colin Sexton at number 7 overall. Dominic, your favorite team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, are on the clock.
My favorite team. Look, I think this draft is all about replacing LeBron James. Let's be real. I mean, there's a lot of speculation. I've read a lot of articles in our own paper the last few days that, hey, the Cleveland Cavaliers don't know what LeBron James is doing. It doesn't matter what LeBron James is doing. He's not staying in Cleveland. So, look, you take LeBron James out of the equation, you're no longer in the playoffs if you're the Cavaliers. I'm sorry, but Kevin Love is not putting them in the playoffs. As bad as the East is, yeah, I mean, they're a fringe 8 team. They're an 8 seed at best, even with Kevin Love. J.R. Smith, if J.R. Smith is the second best player on your team, you are not making the playoffs, unless your best player is LeBron James. In saying that, I think the best player available right now that... Yeah, I mean, again, it's hard to say you can't replace LeBron James, but to help fill his position and start building towards something, giving your team pieces for the future, I like Mikal Bridges from Villanova. Look, this dude has championship mentality, has that experience. He played really well in a team setting, team environment. He doesn't have to be the guy to go to. I don't think he would be in Cleveland. I think that's still Kevin Love if he stays around. Whatever Cleveland does, that team's going to look completely different next year, but it's going to look a lot better if Mikal Bridges is on the floor with them.
That's a pretty good call. And like you said, they're drafting to replace LeBron James. So this one, you could either go Bridges or Michael Porter Jr., which is a very high risk, high reward. Because, you know, the risk is he has a bad back. That is a terrible risk, you know, because that's hard to come back from.
Right, and we talked about that yesterday, Justin. That's what I don't like about Michael Porter Jr. Look, if I'm drafting pure prospect, I'd probably go Michael Porter Jr. over Mikal Bridges. But if I'm the Cavs, I need something safe. I can't afford to go take Michael Porter Jr. and have him struggle through his first year of injuries or, you know, whatever it may be. Michael Porter Jr. may come out and, you know, take the NBA by storm this year. Win Rookie of the Year. Cough, cough, DeAndre Ayton's going to win it. But look, Michael Porter Jr. might be the Cavs at this stage of their franchise. Mm.
So I'm going to go with
You went Michael Porter at 9. Michael Porter was the Knicks pick.
Yeah, sorry.
We got into Michael Porter, but I don't think we actually ever announced him as a pick. Michael Porter's going number 9. Number 10, the 76ers are going to have to take Kevin Knox. I think Knox is a guy who can go a lot higher than this, too. He can kind of sneak up there, maybe sneak in before Mikal Bridges, possibly. Probably not for guys like Jaren Jackson, Michael Porter Jr., though. Look, Kevin Knox, another guy who's had, obviously, tremendous coaching at the college level. He has a good head on his shoulders, probably a great basketball mind coming from Kentucky. So I like Kevin Knox a lot. I think he fits in well with what the 76ers are doing. And, hey, he could be lining up alongside LeBron James next year.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Knox. I like that in Philly because they need – that's exactly what they need. They already have the point guard in Ben Simmons. They already have the big in Joel Embiid, and they also have other supporting cast members
Markelle Fultz. I mean, what are they going to do with him? They got so many options, and I think Kevin Knox gives you more, especially if you have Kevin Love – or not Kevin Love. If you got LeBron James coming to Philly next year, they'll have Kevin Knox and Markelle Fultz likely coming off the bench. That's going to be pretty scary.
Mm-hmm. So – Number 10 is the Charlotte Hornets.
You're at 11.
11.
Yeah.
The Charlotte Hornets. Michael Jordan, the president of the Charlotte Hornets, in case you didn't know, told reporters that he was willing to hear out other teams if they had package deals for Kemba Walker. So a part of me thinks that they are going to trade for draft for a point guard, but... I don't know. I think they keep Kemba Walker and they give Walker a piece to work with, a.k.a. they get a guard from Miami whose last name is also Walker, a.k.a. Lonnie Walker, the sharpshooter from Miami. Look, we all need a Walker and Walker backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys, especially Lonnie, who is 6'6", he kind of reminds me of C.J. McCollum in a way, the way he's got a long body.
So...
Maybe we can get an Eastern Conference version of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum in that with Walker and Walker.
You talk about Walker's a three-point shooter, 36% last year, 34%, from beyond the arc. That's exactly, I agree. I think that's exactly what the Hornets need. You put another sharpshooter in there. Who knows what Kemba Walker is going to be doing next year, but that's a pretty impressive combo. You're not complaining about that and could probably go toe-to-toe with a lot of the 1-2 combos in the NBA. So I like that call. Number 12, we're going to keep rolling on this guard train that we're on. I guess it was only one player. Maybe more coming up. But look, I'm going to ride Wendell Carter from Duke for Los Angeles Clippers. Look, again, I like where his head's at from a basketball mentality. He's coming from Duke. He has that kind of... he has just that mentality. I mean, there's some guys where you know you're going to draft and they're going to have good heads on their shoulders because of who they were coached by in college. Wendell Carter from Duke, obviously Coach K is one of them. He's a competitor. He can play. He's 6'10", 250. He can do it all. Mm-hmm. This is a big dude, 19 years old. So I like Wendell Carter a lot. You're more familiar with the LA teams than I am, Justin. I mean, look, the Clippers need Clippers need a little bit of everything right now. I think Wendell Carter offers them a lot. He's going to start next year if the Clippers take him, and he's going to be a kind of a centerpiece of what they do. I mean, you pair him with DeAndre Ayton, DeAndre Jordan. God, how many names can I get wrong today? DeAndre Jordan.
That's DeAndre with the capital A.
There you go. There's the capital A. you pair him with DeAndre Jordan, and, you know, maybe get something going here. Again, the Clippers need a lot, but Wendell Carter's a step in the right direction, no?
Yes. Oh, yes. And if you don't know what the fate of DeAndre Jordan is, you have to draft a pick. And fortunately for Jerry West and company, they have two picks back-to-back. In the number 13 pick, this is where they get a guard. Avery Bradley, he might stick around. They also really need a point guard. They still have Melo.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name. I just know him as Melo. And he was all right for the Clippers, but what they need is a athletic point guard who can also score as well as distribute. And that's what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky, that's what he brings to you. I saw him in Boise during the NCAA tournament, and I thought he was the best player for Kentucky that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And his teammate, Kevin Knox, just went before him in the draft. So, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, let me get him at number 13 going to the Clippers.
You're thinking of Milo, I'm going to butcher this last name, but Milo Teodosic?
Yes, yes.
Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm.
How many Yugoslavians are playing in the NBA?
One.
I like that pick at 13. Look, Clippers are likely to trade one of these picks, probably, right? I mean, am I wrong in saying that? They got two picks to play with. They can possibly trade up. I've heard that the Grizzlies are big on Wendell Carter, so if he's not available there and the Clippers are looking to go that avenue, they might trade up, but they got two back-to-back picks. Look, if they end up with Gilgeous-Alexander and Wendell Carter, I think they're going to be more than pleased moving forward. Looking at number 14, we'll take another Bridges off the board here. Look, I'm huge on the basketball minds. I think Miles Bridges is another one coming out of Michigan State. I think he fits well with what the Denver Nuggets do. He kind of reminds me of, and if my brother's listening to this, he'll be shaking his head. You remember how good Kenneth Faried was with the Nuggets?
Yeah, Manimal.
Yeah, back when they played the Warriors in the playoffs, Kenneth Faried was an animal, man, and quite literally the Manimal. So I kind of see Miles Bridges fitting in that role, only being obviously better than Kenneth Faried was for more, I mean, longer time period. Obviously, Kenneth Faried hasn't really done anything since that year, but I like Miles Bridges' tenacity. He kind of reminds me of that down low. He'll fight for every single rebound. He'll get every single rebound and go right up with it. He has that kind of ability inside. I like him a lot. He's mobile. He's coming out of Michigan State. I like him for the Nuggets. He reminds me of Kenneth Faried, only better. I don't want to compare guys to Kenneth Faried because, I mean, that's not who you're looking for in a draft. No one goes in the draft going, oh, I need the next Kenneth Faried. But he's got that kind of mentality that I like, and I kind of see fitting in with the Nuggets.
Yeah, totally.
That's 14.
That's number 14.
There's your top 14.
And 15 through 30, you can catch on the Wildcaster app or our Facebook page, the Wildcaster Facebook page.
Twitter.
At Twitter, or at the Wildcaster on Twitter.
At us on Twitter.
At us on Twitter. don't ask the actual Twitter page. But NBA draft coverage, we have it all right here. It's going to be crazy. Bruce Pasco
live in New York. Be sure to follow him at Bruce Pasco.
Yeah.
Follow the Wildcaster at the Wildcaster.
He's got the goods.
Yeah, we'll have all of the goods for you. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good collections coming out of Wildcats to be drafted, number one overall picks, all that good info. Again, that's all over on Tucson.com for all that good stuff. All
right, guys. Peace out. Thanks for listening.